Now today, we go a stage further. Today, we come from perfect speech to perfect action, known in Sanskrit as Samyak Karmanta. And this is the fourth stage, or the fourth aspect of the path. Now, Karmanta is quite literally just action. Nothing esoteric here, nothing difficult to understand, nothing requiring a long philological and etymological explanation, just action. And Samyak is not just right, as usually it is translated. Samyak means, as I've insisted before, that which is whole, that which is integral, that which is complete, that which is perfect. So we shall follow our usual practice and speak not just of right action, but rather of perfect action. So the question arises inevitably, what is perfect action? And this is a very important question. It's a question which brings us immediately right into the midst of ethics. It's a question which compels us to examine, we may say, fundamentally, the principles of ethics. What is it, we may inquire, that makes some acts right? What is it that makes others wrong, or some acts perfect, or others imperfect? Is there, we may even go so far as to inquire, is there any such universally valid criterion in the light of which we can say, well, this is right, that is wrong, this act is perfect, that act is imperfect? Is there any such criterion? If so, where is it to be found? What is its nature? These are certainly, we may say, very pressing and very urgent questions. They're questions which concern all of us. Whether we like it or whether we do not like it, we all have to act. Every day, every hour, almost every minute, we are called upon to act. So the question of how to act in the best way, what is the criterion of our action, what should be the guiding principle, the motive, this inevitably arises. Now we all know that nowadays churchmen and others are very fond of lamenting what they call the decline of morals. Everybody is supposed to have got, I gather, in the course of the last 10 or 20 years, progressively more and more immoral. And I gather that we're now in a pretty bad state. And this decline of morals is usually linked very firmly with decline in religion, especially Orthodox religion. We've all gone away from religion, we all turned our backs on the churches, and we plunged at once into the pit, into the mire, of course, of immorality. And we may in fact agree, quite frankly, that traditional ethics, to a very great extent, have in fact collapsed. And lots of people nowadays, maybe some of you here, are no longer convinced that there are any fixed standards of right and wrong. So that one can say quite definitely, this is right. Or equally definitely, if not a little more definitely, that is wrong. Most people nowadays don't really believe that there are any such fixed standards. In the 17th century, one of the great Cambridge Platonists, that is to say Cudworth, wrote a book which he called Eternal and Immutable Morality. Now, if anyone was to write a book, even if the Archbishop of Canterbury was to write a book, even if the Pope was to write a book with this title nowadays, Eternal and Immutable Morality, it would seem quite ridiculous. And not so very long ago, even in the 19th century, the Victorian humanists and freethinkers, freely as they might think, widely as they might range and question intellectually, when it came to ethics, when it came to their home life, as the Victorians called it, well, they continued to conform to Christian ethics. People like Darwin, people like Huxley, even people like Marx, apart from one or two occasional slips. They were models, we may say, of morality in the full sense. But that is all changed now. Now the situation is quite different in most quarters. And many people would say, as someone in fact said to me the other day, a young lady, if you do something and if it makes you feel good, well, that thing's right, at least for you. And this is a very widely current, a very widely held view, not always held as explicitly and as openly, as frankly as that, but that is in fact what very many people do think. And I personally feel that this is not necessarily, this development is not necessarily a bad thing. It might in fact in the long run be even a good thing, at least as a sort of transitional stage. I think it's not a bad thing, even as I say a good thing, that morals should be thrown, temporarily we hope, into the melting pot. A good that we should have to rethink, revise, even re-feel, reimagine, if you like, our morality. It's good that ultimately, as we hope, a new ethic should emerge from the collapse, from the ruins, from the disintegration of the old.